My next two guests are Dr. Dean Ornish and Ann Ornish. Now, you may know these people. Dr. Dean Ornish is the founder and president of the nonprofit Preventative Medicine Research Institute, clinical professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, and the author of 6 books, all national bestsellers. He has received numerous honors, including the Outstanding Young Alumnus Award from the University of Texas, Austin, and the National Public Health Hero Award from the University of California, Berkeley. And Ann Ornish is Vice President of Program Development at the nonprofit Preventative Medicine Research Institute. She is the creator of the Ornish Lifestyle Medicine digital platform, including Ornish.com and Empower, a turnkey learning management system that trains healthcare professionals and participants throughout the country. Ann Ornish has more than 25 years of advanced training in yoga and meditation and was featured on the cover of Yoga Journal. Welcome, Ann and Dean. How are you today?
We're great. Thanks for having us.
Excited to be here.
I am so happy to have you both, and I've been following you for a very long time, so it's just quite a pleasure for me to have this conversation. So we're talking about your new book, Undo It, How Simple Lifestyle Changes Can Reverse Most Chronic Diseases. And I read it, and it's fabulous. Thank you for putting it together. It has everything in it.
Thank you.
Now, my listeners, we talk a lot about food. This program is called It's All About Food, and we talk a lot about the importance of a whole food plant diet. But, Dr. Ornish, something that you have included for a long time in your program is things that are more than just food. And the thing that I want to start with first is love. I like to say on this program that we tune in love. And you say that in your book. Let's see, I wrote it down here. And you wrote, this is a love-based program.
That's for sure. It's, it's often the thing that when people are starting our program, they might be skeptical, think, you don't hear about love in mainstream medicine. And yet people inevitably find that it is the most powerful driver towards our motivation to make healthier lifestyle choices. So when we reflect on that motivation, we often ask as the first question to start living our lifestyle medicine program is, what is your motivation? Because it's not enough to, there's often an incident that's fear-based. There's been some catastrophic medical events. Maybe there's a fear of family history of heart disease, for example, diabetes. But ultimately, in order to make this a really love-based and joy-based way of living, it comes down to who do we love and what do we love? And as we're moving in a healthier direction, making the choices that allow us to have more of those moments that make us feel the most alive with the people that we love, then this way of living becomes more sustainable.
Beautiful. This is a breakthrough in my mind because I've spoken to numerous doctors who kind of cringe at talking about spirituality and love, and they just want to focus on the data. But you found the data in encouraging lifestyle changes that include social interaction and love and spirituality.
It's true. Well, love is almost a four-letter word in cardiology circles, which is ironic since the heart is the symbol of love. And yet, study after study has shown that people who are lonely and depressed, which I think is, one of the real epidemics in our culture, are 3 to 10 times more likely to get sick and die prematurely from pretty much all causes when compared to those who have a strong sense of love and connection and community. And I don't really know anything in medicine that even smoking doesn't have that kind of impact. But also it affects our behavior. As Ann said, we always assume people want to live longer, but we always ask, why do you want to live longer? People say, gosh, no one's ever asked me that before. And because when I ask people, why do you smoke? Why do you overeat? Why do you, abuse drugs? Why do you work too hard? Why do you watch too many video games? These behaviors seem so maladaptive. They say they're very adaptive. They help us deal with our loneliness, our pain, and our depression. So we've learned that it's not enough to give people information. We're drowning information in the era of Google. Or to focus on the behaviors. We need to focus on these deeper issues. And then when we do that, we find that people are much more likely to make and maintain lifestyle choices that are life-enhancing than ones that are self-destructive. And what we've been able to prove and what we talk about in our new book is that these simple things, eat well, move more, stress less, love more, boom, That's it. The more diseases we study and the more mechanisms we look at, the more reasons we have to explain why these changes are so powerful. And we were able to show for the first time that even severe heart disease could actually be reversed. Type 2 diabetes can be reversed. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity. We found these same changes when you change your diet and lifestyle. It changes your genes and turns on the good genes and turns off the genes that cause us to get sick. And we found with Elizabeth Blackburn, who got the Nobel Prize for discovering telomeres, ends of our chromosomes that regulate aging, that we could lengthen telomeres and, in a sense, begin to reverse aging at a cellular level. And so the more diseases we study and the more mechanisms we look at, the more reasons we have to explain why these changes are so powerful and how quickly people can get better. And that's really the point of our new book. And so for your listeners, it's a way to really empower yourself to, you know, if you've been told you have to take, you know, drugs to lower your cholesterol and your blood pressure and your blood sugar for the rest of your life, we found that under your doctor's supervision, many people can reduce or even get off of many of these medications. If you've been told that maybe you need to have a stent or have your prostate operated on or be on other medications, that in many cases, lifestyle changes can be an alternative to that. Again, always under your doctor's supervision. And we've published these findings in all the leading peer-reviewed medical journals. And so I think what really sets our work and our book off, apart from so many others, is that it's really based on these science that really empower people and give so many people new hope and new choices that they might not have had before.
It's all there. And the exercises, there are a lot of simple exercises that everyone can do. There's a lot of encouragement from both of you, ways to kind of fight the excuses that you have or the reasons that you have for not doing these things. It's really all there. Only certain people are going to be able to take a book and use it and put it to work, and then other people need more. They need help. For example, I am here with Nadja Pinavaya, who has a meal delivery program, and we just spoke about that. And you have the Ornish plan. And I understand that people can access this and even Medicare pays for it. Can you talk a little bit about that program? Because I know people don't know about it and would be interested in it.
It's true. Well, you know, a lot of people are able to do it from reading the book. We get letters, thousands
Absolutely.
Of letters. But you're right, it is always nice to have help. And so we've been training hospitals and clinics and physician groups throughout the country, and we've worked with a company called ShareCare that's helped provide the resources to do that. And if your listeners are interested in learning more about it, just go to Ornish, ORNISH.com. It provides a listing of all the sites that are offering our program, plus lots of information that's all free on there that can help people make these changes. And, you know, we're getting bigger changes in lifestyle, better clinical outcomes, bigger cost savings, and better adherence than anyone's ever shown before. It's really working. And so often doctors think, and Medicare, as you've indicated, and most insurance companies are now paying the cost of it. And so often doctors think, oh, you know, I can get my patients to take their pills, but there's no way they're going to change their lifestyle. It's too hard. And yet we're finding that 85 to 90% of the people complete all 72 hours of the training. Instead of a 10-minute visit, they'll actually pay for 72 hours of training. And it's a doctor, a nurse, a meditation teacher, an exercise physiologist, a dietitian, and a psychologist who all work together to help people stay on this. And after a year, even though the program's only 9 weeks long, after a year, about 85% to 90% of the people are still following it, much higher than people of just taking a cholesterol-lowering drug. And the reason is that the drug doesn't really make you feel better when it lowers your cholesterol, but changing diet and lifestyle does. And, you know, I'm continually impressed by how dynamic these underlying mechanisms are and how quickly people can feel better. We even talk about in our book a guy who had such bad heart disease, he was on the heart transplant list. And after just 9 weeks of going through our program at UCLA, he didn't need a heart transplant anymore. His heart disease had improved so much. And so for someone who has chest pain whenever they walk across the street or make love with their spouse or play with their kids or, you know, can't work for all these things, and within a few weeks they can do all of those, and they say, wow, what I gain is so much more than what I give up. These are changes worth making, not just to prevent something bad from happening years down the road, but because the quality of my life is so much enhanced.
That heart transplant story was very moving to me, and I was just wondering, of course, this probably isn't any data on this, but of all the people that need heart transplants, do you have an idea of what change in diet and lifestyle could do to their
need
for a heart?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, I'm laughing because sometimes people say, oh, why are you doing this radical intervention of, you know, eat well, move more, stress less, love more? Why don't you do something more conventional, like a heart transplant, you know,
right,
which is about as radical as you can get. Costs $1.5 million, and you have to take drugs the rest of your life to suppress your immune system to keep the heart from being rejected. And most heart transplants are due to what's called coronary artery disease. And we have over a dozen men and women who were so sick they needed a heart transplant. We're able to avoid it by going on our lifestyle program. They did it because they thought it would help them, you know, do better when they had their heart transplant, and were surprised to see that they improved so much that they didn't actually need one. And so we're just continually amazed by our body has this remarkable capacity to begin healing, even in dire straits of something as bad as needing a heart transplant, and much more quickly than we had once realized, if the lifestyle changes are big enough and if we can use them to treat these underlying causes. And one of the themes of the new book is that I'm presenting this new unifying, we're presenting this new unifying theory that although we're trained to view heart disease as being very different than diabetes or prostate cancer or Alzheimer's disease, we're now doing the first randomized trial to see if we can actually reverse Alzheimer's disease. They're really the same disease in different disguises, manifesting in different ways. And I say that because they all share the same underlying biological mechanisms, chronic inflammation, oxidative stress, changes in the microbiome, and changes in angiogenesis, and telomeres, and gene expression, and so on. And each one of these mechanisms is directly affected by what we eat, how we respond to stress, how much exercise we get, and how much love and support we have. And that's why it's really these same lifestyle changes that can reverse and therefore help prevent almost all of these chronic diseases, because they all really come from the same origin.
You've been doing this a long time, and I'm wondering what has changed over the decades that in your program and what you've learned about diet and lifestyle. Has anything changed?
Well, in our program, not much has changed, really. We added fish oil 20 years ago, or flaxseed oil for vegans, and we added small amounts of seeds or nuts a few years ago, even though they're high in fat, just because they have such a strong germinative quality. But it's pretty much the same program now as it was before, which is really very heartening. Anne, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, yes. I think that it's actually a relief in the sense of so many people, there's so many fad diets coming out really every day, every week, and it becomes such a barrage of noise. And you know, I know that people even in our field are still trying to sift through it. So I can only imagine what the layperson is faced with on a given day. So I think to the extent that they can be reassured, your listeners, to the fact that this same way of eating and living has only been proven through more studies that we've conducted as well as others in the lifestyle medicine field, to prove that just these same ways of managing your stress, the same basic five techniques that we've used for 40 years, moving more, as simple as 30 minutes of walking per day, loving more, as we talked about, which really is what makes this meaningful and therefore sustainable, and starts with loving ourselves. And so that is, you know, I think a lot of other programs are working from the outside in. And our lifestyle is transforming people from the inside out. And so I think, you know, nutrition and what you do, you're familiar with this more than most, is that there's just so much information. And really, to come back to this, a simple plant-based whole foods, we're not reducing things down to one thing like grapefruit or reducing it down to removing one thing. I think that that's so important to for people to understand that this is really about a natural way of eating, the way that we've evolved eating, a way that is the most colorful, the most flavorful, and the most familiar. And that to the extent that we can imbue these choices with meaning, and we start to connect the dots between when I eat this way, I feel really proud of myself, and I feel immediate energy that sustains me throughout the day, that it gives me the energy to be with the people at the energetic level that I'd like to be at work and at home, and that we can begin to connect those dots. When I eat this, when I go and eat it in and out and have fast food or food that I know is not healthy for me, I feel the opposite. I don't feel great. I feel regret, shame, I feel lethargic, etc. So it really has to happen from the inside out. We need to identify, to the extent that we're able to identify, why we're making healthier choices, and then we connect those choices. When I do these things, I feel better. When I do these things, I don't feel so great. So I'm going to do more, make more healthy choices so I can keep feeling better, to do the things
also,
that I love with those I love.
Agreed. And also what's changed, to answer your question, is that after 40 years of doing this work, I think our time has finally come, because there's a convergence of forces that finally makes this the right idea at the right time. On the one hand, the studies were showing that stents and angioplasties in stable patients really don't work that well, and yet lifestyle changes can actually reverse heart disease the way that we've described in our book. If you have early stage prostate cancer, two major studies in the New England Journal of Medicine found that after 10 years, men who did nothing lived as long as those who had surgery or radiation, and yet those treatments often cause them to be either impotent or incontinent or both for no real benefit. There's maybe one out of 49 or so men who have early stage prostate cancer who actually benefit from the surgery, but the others often, you know, get maimed in the most personal ways. Dr. Peter Carroll, the chair of urology at UCSF, has developed algorithms to help identify who are those patients who really need surgery or radiation. And the others, instead of saying, well, just do nothing, can be said, you know, we actually did the first randomized trial in collaboration with Dr. Carroll at UCSF and Dr. Bill Fair when he was the chair of urology at Sloan Kettering in New York, that we can slow, stop, or even reverse the progression of men with early-stage prostate cancer and in all likelihood of women with early-stage breast cancer in some cases. And finally, in the case of type 2 diabetes, getting your blood sugar down with drugs doesn't prevent the horrible complications of diabetes nearly as well as getting it down with diet and lifestyle. And half of the population in the U.S. today is diabetic or pre-diabetic. And the complications and the side effects of diabetes are, you know, blindness, kidney failure, amputations, impotence, heart attacks, strokes, and so on. And almost all of these can be completely prevented if you can get your blood sugar down through drugs, through diet and lifestyle rather than through drugs, which we describe how to do in our new book.
So the good news is the information is out there. We know how to heal. We know how to reverse. We know how to prevent chronic diseases. And all of it is in your wonderful book, Undo It. And I appreciate, Anne, you bringing up how confused the public is. There's so much information out there, and a lot of it isn't good. And I just wanted to mention the U.S. News Best Diet Ranking. So I want to congratulate you on tying for the number one spot in Best Heart Healthy Diets. But my question is, why is the Mediterranean diet the best diet overall? I really wonder about this analysis, this evaluation. It does show how your information is getting out there and people are starting to accept it as your diet kind of moves up in the ranking. But this information is confusing to people.
Well, it is confusing, and that's one of the reasons that we spend so much of our time doing high-quality scientific research, you know, published in all the leading peer-reviewed and medical and scientific journals and so on, is that's the whole point of science, is to help people sort these conflicting claims out. And, you know, the panel of experts at U.S. News has rated our diet number one for heart health for, you know, 8 of the last 9 years, which is a nice validation. The Mediterranean diet is confusing because, you know, it's always easier to tell people what they want to hear. And people like to hear, oh, you know, fat is good and this is good and that is good. But, you know, there was a study that came out in the New England Journal of Medicine called the PREDIMED study that purported to say Mediterranean diet better than low-fat diet in treating heart disease. And yet if you actually, and that made headlines around the world, but if you actually look at the data, what they found was that, first of all, what they called a low-fat diet went from 39% to 37%, hardly any reduction at all. They substituted fat with sugar, which is never a good idea. And even with all that, there was really no difference in heart attack rates. It was only a difference in strokes. And the strokes were lower because when you include some of the omega-3 fatty acids in your diet, but you don't have to get them from salmon, the salmon actually get them from the plankton. You can get them plankton-based or fish oil-based omega-3s. They help to prevent blood clots from forming, and 90% of strokes are due to blood clots. That's why the omega-3s can help to prevent that. But there was really no difference in heart attack rates. Now, clearly the Mediterranean diet is a much better diet than what most Americans are eating, but it doesn't go far enough to actually reverse heart disease. And the diet that we've recommended in our books that we've been studying now for 40 years, it's essentially a whole foods plant-based diet, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, soy products, naturally low in fat and in sugar, and the so-called bad carbs. This is really the only diet that's actually been found in randomized trials to actually reverse the progression of heart disease, so that instead of getting worse and worse over time, which is what usually happens, people get better and better, and much more quickly than we had once thought possible.
So I think it's important to, you know, when we talk about diet, and I think it's so interesting that we're always in these diet conversations, but really Dean never set out to be a diet. This was a lifestyle intervention to reverse chronic diseases. And so I don't think there's any other diets per se that U.S. News ranked, including the Mediterranean, that are go beyond just eating or a diet per se. This is a balanced way of eating that's part of an overall lifestyle. And it's not to be under, it's not just semantics. That really is part of the synergy that makes this way of eating so transformative. And so although we never set out to be a diet, people do lose excess weight, but more importantly, they gain health.
So one of the frustrating things for me with the U.S. News Best Diet Rankings, as well as many other articles that talk about diets and the way to eat, is they can't help themselves but say how difficult eating this way can be. And we know it's not difficult. And that's why I love one of my favorite parts of your book is Appendix A, 2 weeks of recommended packaged foods. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, and I guess she can talk about that even better than I can, but you're right. You know, people say, oh, it's so hard to change. This is what I was talking about earlier. Doctors say, oh, I can get my patients to take their Lipitor, their cholesterol-lowering drugs, taking a pill every day. But boy, changing diet and lifestyle, nobody could do that. But if you actually take a look at the evidence shows that half to two-thirds of people who are prescribed cholesterol-lowering drugs are not taking them after just 4 months, and they are of proven benefit in people who have heart disease, especially if you're not doing any changes in lifestyle. But and a third of people who are prescribed these drugs don't even get them filled. And why is that? Well, the reason is that fear is not really a sustainable motivator. You know, it is for like a month or so after you've had a visit to the emergency room or a surgical procedure. You'll do pretty much anything your doctor or nurse tells you for like a month or so. But it's not sustainable. We're seeing this in the political arena as well. But what is sustainable if it makes you feel good, joy, pleasure, love, feeling good, and social support are really what make it sustainable. And the paradox is that when you make changes in your lifestyle, like we write about in our new book, most people find that they feel so much better so quickly, it reframes the reason for making these changes from fear of dying or fear of something bad happening, which is not sustainable, to joy and pleasure and feeling good, which really are. And that's really what makes it work.
When it comes to Appendix A and having those foods available, we understand that, like Dean's saying, you're going to experience the greatest benefits and quickly if you make these choices to the extent that you're able to make these choices all at once and comprehensively. At the same time, you know, I call the eating part, the food part, sort of the Trojan horse of the program, because it's the one element of the four that you have to do every day. We all have to eat at least a couple times a day. And so if we can lower that barrier of entry for somebody who's not, you know, someone who's going to go and cook one of the 70 recipes that we have in the book at home. We want to make it easy that you can go to pretty much any store, get any of those commercially available packaged foods that we list in that appendix, and so that it makes it easy. You all just really, they're frozen, ready to heat, and they meet our nutritional recommendations. And so that might not be the, for some, you might be able to eat like that all of the time, but there's another, and it certainly is very helpful. We have many of those products in our freezer, and when you are in a pinch and time is short, those can make making the healthier choice much more realistic. And so we all need to have a few of those healthy options that we can just grab and go with. At the same time, there's another section that I also really enjoyed bringing to the world here, because it doesn't, you don't have to feel alienated, like you can't go out and eat with your friends and your colleagues the way that you normally would otherwise. That there's a whole section in the Eat Well chapter that talks about how you can order and eat this way in really any kind of restaurant, from Mexican, Italian, you name it, that it's actually easier than you might have thought. And what we find is that when we order this way, almost all the time when our food comes, because they didn't even notice that we ordered something, you know, somewhat special, that they're like, oh, I didn't even see that on the menu. Where did you get that? And we said, oh, we just said, you know, and we saw these things over the sides. They had these vegetables. We asked them to the chef put together your freshest vegetables, and that something comes out that is, usually people say, I'll have what she's having, like when Harry met Sally. And so we find it a really kind of fun way to go out and dine and experience new food and to turn our friends onto it and share.
Yeah, and also just to emphasize that the reason that we put the 2 weeks of prepackaged foods in there is to, Ann came up with this wonderful term called mindlessly mindful. You know, you don't have to think about it, just eat the food. And because these mechanisms we've been talking about biologically are so dynamic, if you eat this way for a week or two, especially if you eat this way most of the time, which is what these prepackaged foods can do, you're likely to feel so much better so quickly, then you're going to want to go out and shop and learn how to make the food. But we don't personally endorse any foods. We don't have any financial interest in any of this. We just did this as a service to show people how it's really not that hard to do at all.
It's genius. Unfortunately, we only have a minute left, and I could talk to you forever. I want just to briefly highlight some of the other favorite sections in my book. I love how you talked about meditation and gave so many different examples. Many people are like confused and afraid to meditate, and you've given so many different techniques and methods to make it easy. I loved how you talked about stress and how it's really a perception and we can change that perception. Brilliant. Yes. And I also loved when you talked about exercise and how it affects depression. It can help with depression. Lifting weights, lift your mood. So thank you so much for joining me, both Ann and Dr. Ornish. This was wonderful. I love your book, and I wish you all the best. Thanks for helping all of us.
The pleasure
was
ours.
Thank you so much. We're really grateful.
Okay. Okay, that was Dr. Dean Ornish and Ann Ornish. And earlier we spoke with Nadja. What's your last name?
I'm still here. Pinavaya.
Beautiful. It's Italian. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for joining me, and have a very delicious week.